Let's talk about the highlights for the Solari report in 2011. I spent a fair amount of time in 2011 trying to make sure that our subscribers had a framework for managing investment in this environment. And part of it, I was inspired by so much of the manipulation, sort of the pump and dump of silver in the spring, and too many clients and subscribers sort of getting tricked by various things on the internet, including a lot of the dire, sort of fearful predictions. So we did two Solari reports, one called Unpacking Financial and Investment Advice Part 1 and Unpacking Financial and Investment Advice Part 2. And a lot of that was to help give you a framework for accessing and digesting information in the media in this kind of environment, particularly given the volatility and the uncertainty. And then finally, at the end of the year, in October, I gave a speech in Mill Valley called Investment Strategies for Changing Times. And, of course, that's available for streaming by the subscribers. All three of those, combined with our investors' collection of audio seminars, which you have access to, are designed to really give you a framework to understand what's happening going forward and how you can manage your resources and organize your resources around you and your family and your loved ones in a world where economic warfare is the defining environment. So unfortunately, our financial markets are defined by economic warfare. That's a great amount of volatility, as we've seen in 2011, and it's going to continue, if not get worse, in 2012. And so it's very, very important that you understand the long-term trends and are able to invest in them and do so without being in a state of fear. And so I'm hoping that those will help a lot. Another highlight on the Solari report, of course, was the precious metals market report, particularly not just because I think Franklin gives tremendous advice on gold and silver and investing in gold and silver, but also it's always a pleasure to be with him in Tennessee because he and his family have really created a series of family enterprises, a precious metals dealership, a farm, a church, a whole community. And you get the sense of what it's like to live happily, ignoring the empire and building the kind of world you want to live in. One of the highlights of the Precious Metals Report is we did a presentation and created a write-up of it, of the top 10 dates in the history of precious metals in the United States. And it really gives a wonderful flavor for this sort of war between the centralization and decentralization and the key different sectors like precious metals and agriculture. So it really gives you a historical perspective on all these things. Two of my favorite Solari reports this year were interviews with Adam Trombley. Adam did one on entrainment technology. All year long I've been warning people about entrainment technology, including used to sell financial products and services. And I was really struggling to find someone and finally shared with Adam my challenge, and he agreed that he would do one, which I was very surprised and gratified by. And I think that was very useful because it's hard for people who don't know that such stuff exists to fathom that anybody would want to do it or use it, but it's very real and we need to understand it. And then he also did one on free energy. Adam is one of the people interviewed by Foster Gamble in the documentary Thrive. And I think understanding the existence of this technology and the suppression of this technology helps us really get a better understanding of when I say that we don't have material problems, we don't have economic problems, we have political problems. I got a wonderful letter from a subscriber who, after listening to the two interviews with Adam, said that she'd gone to sleep and had a dream, and really in her dream was able to envision a very different kind of world. She said, you know, I know about a lot of the things you talk about on the Solari report, but I literally didn't understand the kind of energy technology that has been suppressed, number one, and I really didn't understand how much of the control depended on these kinds of entrainment technologies and subliminal programming and other kinds of propaganda and mind control. And she said, but when I understood that, I could really sort of intuitively and emotionally appreciate what a world might be like if those two things went away. And to me, that was very, very hopeful and positive. And I agree, the more you understand about what's really going on, the more you understand that if we could find a way to remove the negative forces, how amazing the world could be. Another great moment, as I described before, was Bill Tiller talking about the power of intention and then the importance of coherence. And it really underscored for me one of my New Year's resolutions to do everything I can to improve my personal coherence. And it reminded me that really that one of the most important things we can do for the world is to try and grow more coherent, despite the fact that the environment is encouraging the opposite. Another great moment, Gwen Scott, who came on and did an interview on how to protect ourselves from the impact of chemtrails. I went through the material with her before we did the Soleri report, and I called her back and said, oh, I've figured out how we can organize this. I've organized it into 10 action steps, and she listened to my 10 action steps, and she said, you forgot the most important one. She said, you know, if you look at everything that's been going on, we should all be dead, but we're not. So something else is going on, and we need to understand that and count on it. And that was an unbelievably important insight, and it's one that I think a lot about even now on a regular basis. Jim Norman was back in 2011 to talk about the oil card. If you have not read Jim's book, The Oil Card, or listen to any of his interviews, I cannot underscore the importance of it. When you see the importance of trading oil in the dollar, the importance of controlling the sea lanes and the trade in oil as a support to the reserve currency, and the dependency of the financial system on our control of oil and on our sort of checkmating of China, you see a lot that explains what's going on in the world, including the things that our leaders can't proceed to describe to us that have to be covert. And you see the extent to which the financial markets end up being used for sort of economic warfare. It doesn't mean that the world's a more pleasant place, but it's certainly a more logical place. And I would encourage you, if you haven't done that, to tune into some of those interviews. Peter Dale Scott was on at the end of the year and described some of the legal basis of why you know, if we're going to be a global empire, North America, as a legal matter, needs to become sort of a district within the empire. And it was some very important insights that really gave me an aha and helped me sort of think further about sort of the insecurity of the empire. Laura Thompson did one on, she's a wonderful nutritionist from California, on how to protect ourselves from radiation poisoning. That was, we did that after Fukushima, but I think because of the fallout of Fukushima or other things that could happen, that's one very much, if you haven't listened to it, you need to do so. If you did listen to it, it's probably worth listening to again and sort of integrating some of that into your healthcare plans for 2012. Foster Gamble, the producer of Thrive, wonderful interview. I was in Switzerland, Foster was in California. And he talked of all the different feedback he's gotten since Thrive has been sort of launched globally in 10 different languages. And one of the things he talked about was how the greatest controversy was his very strong support for the power and importance of individual human and property rights and the principle of non-violation. And I believe that that section of Thrive is probably my favorite, because that is the fundamental principle that needs to be part of a new global cultural covenant. I don't mean to suggest a government covenant, but a cultural covenant. And I really, if you haven't watched that part of Thrive, I would really tune into that part when you do.